on the inside of the schnitz last night, I would say that Portlanders, sound like most of the audience, was very progressive. And they did pay attention to the Constitution, which is, I'm a lifelong journalist, and restraint of speech, press, religion, assembly is forbidden, and there are several landmark laws forbidding that. It's a gag law. Okay, the people who ran it were saying we need a civil discourse and all of that, and there's a lot of restiveness, and then in the first place, they didn't fill that place. There were 1,600 people, according to one usher I was talking to. The back, top balcony, I think there was only one person up there. And so I was just telling somebody, they gave the rules of engagement, you know, and anybody who speaks out, I mean, that was the World Council's attempt to, she was emphasizing to be civil. And to me, that's, you know, let the other guy talk, which is not always the most popular thing, unless you're on the other side of this. I'm a lifelong journalist, and in Intro to Journalism, we are taught no restraint of the press, religion, speech, and assembly. And anybody who tries to do it, they can be sued. And I can go on about the landmark cases. One that comes to mind, of course, is American Press versus Grosjean, which was it's a landmark case that we are made to memorize. It happened in Louisiana, when Huey Long tried to put a $2 fee for newspapers that had above certain circulation, and was thrown out of court. And it has been, you know, gag laws. Sometimes you want to say, as this one person who first stood up before anything had begun, you know, would you let Hitler speak? And then the security was very heavy up there. They hustled him off. He was warned, you speak again, you'll be thrown out. He didn't even get a chance to say something the second time. You really need to hear what they have to say. But I will say, Portland, in that particular setting last night, paid attention to the Constitution. They greeted a lot of things that Rove said with total silence. When Dean was saying, I do not believe in torture, which is one of the questions, they, you know, people stood up and cheered and clapped and all this and that. It was very much Dean's night. My interpretation from sitting up on the first balcony, I think it was that they greeted Rove with silence. When he was trying to haul out about torture, the old thing of, if there's an atomic bomb, you can certainly want to torture that person, and Dean said no. And everybody, yay! I mean, so it was very much Portland's usual progressive nature out there. There was first 10 minutes of opening statement by Dean, and then 10 minutes by Rove, and people got up in the balcony just below me and left. This is their response. They wanted to hear what he had to say. And people sitting next to me didn't get up, didn't applaud, didn't do anything, and sat through the entire thing. Well, you know, I'm on my feet, you know, and all of this, because Dean was very much in good form, except for a couple of exceptions, which I didn't agree with. That was in the beginning. Because he told Karl Rove, before they went on, you know, I was picketed here in Portland over at one of the community colleges. And he wasn't being picketed. We were advocating single payer. And the group that sponsored that particular speech didn't want us there and made it very difficult for us to get into the hall. And at one point in that particular debate, it wasn't a debate, he was making a statement, he said, you need to listen to those people out in the hall, and we were all shouting for single payer. So I would say Rove met his comeuppance in a very silence, except at the end one of the questions was, would you ever do anything differently? And I couldn't hear what his response was because he, you know, he's a wisecracker. But, you know, this guy was trained by Lee Atwater, who was probably one of the, reprehensible PR people who lied and did all that kind of stuff for the Bushes. And Rove, you know, he's looking for attention. And he didn't, I don't think he got it. So, I mean, you know, they let him talk. Right after the fellow talked about, you know, would you let Hitler speak? Yeah, you know, in Nuremberg, they let those monsters speak, and then they hanged them. But, I mean, at least they had it. That was at Nuremberg. So, I mean, when your passions are high, of course you're going to feel like you want to shut them up. And in the newspaper business, in the media, we have to restrain ourselves because we believe in no prior restraint. You know, you get your you can have your say after they've spoken. And it goes back to Milton, the poet, who said, "Let truth and falsehood grapple. Whoever knew truth to be put to the worst in a free and open encounter?" And then, of course, you know, we have the First Amendment, and journalism, and broadcast. We have to pay attention to that. And sometimes it's very hard because we're supposed to be objective. But I mean, when they try to shut you down, this is not the American way, much as you would like to shut them down. And I have a different view, I guess. I mean, because that's my profession has been that way since I've been 18 years old.
We've been talking with Barbara Ellis from Portland, Oregon, about a so-called debate between Howard Dean and Karl Rove last night, the 10th of February 2010, at the Stifter Theater here in Portland, Oregon. This is Glen Owen, Cascadia Public Radio.